In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The preacher in the book of Ecclesiastes declares, "There is a time to keep silence and a time to speak." And in our two readings today, this theme develops. Zechariah keeps an enforced silence, as the angel says to him, "But now, Zechariah, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak until these things occur." And in our first reading, the prophet Zephaniah declares a time not just to speak, but to shout loudly. "Sing aloud, O daughter Zion, shout, O Israel." A time to keep silence and a time to speak. Silence, it seems, is increasingly elusive in the noisy 24-hour, 7-day-week society which we have become. The audible signs of this are in rolling news, constant availability of mobile technology, traffic, planes flying overhead, talk and chatter. The less silence we have, the more we seem to become frightened of silence. And when we lose patience with silence, we lose the capacity to listen. It's perhaps no accident in that context that silence has become more and more yearned for. We see this in the life of the church, in the take-up of retreats and quiet days. I was leading a quiet day just last week. There are books about silence. Dermot McCulloch's Silence, A Christian History, or Sarah Maitland's A Book of Silence, and they have a real following. In this Advent season, we should consider silence, how it fits into our own life of prayer, and what spiritual gifts it brings us. Dwelling in silence helps us to renew our praise, just as to fast helps us properly to feast. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. Silence, though, is complex. In his most recent book, The Edge of Words, Rowan Williams spends time considering the place of silence, both for good and for ill. He cautions that we risk implying that wherever silence occurs, it is a manifestation of an otherness pregnant with depth and critical force. And we might add to that, we assume silence always means spiritual force too. But it's not always so. For we know that there are times when people are silenced as an act of power or abuse. As Sarah Maitland relates, a friend saying, "Silence is oppression, and speech, language, spoken or written, is freedom. All silence," she says, "is waiting to be broken." And mustn't this just echo true for victims of historic crimes who have been silenced by their abuser or by a system that finds their silence a lot more convenient? With that cautionary example of silence, we have also to acknowledge that there can be a powerful silence, a silence that exhibits power. You might say this can be drawn from the silence of Jesus before his accusers, the silent pause before the accusers of the woman caught in adultery, which demonstrates Jesus' power before them. There is too the silent eloquence of the empty tomb. This is a silence that is not drawn to have to speak or to talk. One of my great failings is that I am an inveterate talker. And one of the things I've had to learn in life is to temper that. I think it was with my spiritual director who taught me that long pauses that he leaves when I'm talking aren't always bad. We used to sit there with him saying nothing and me filling the gaps by talking a bit more. My first instinct was always, fill the silence, fill the silence. I was embarrassed by the silence. It was as if the silence meant that I wasn't really using the time well, as if cramming more and more speech into that silence somehow made the time more valuable. He taught me to learn to slow down a bit, to enjoy the silence, for fruitful things can happen in it. I've had to learn, as I've told many a school assembly, God gave us one mouth and two ears, and we must use them in the same proportion as they were given. Shattering the silence by filling it shuts out God. The Cistercian monk Father Thomas Keating writes, "Silence is God's first language. Everything else is a poor translation. In order to hear that language, we must learn to be still and to rest in God." Resting in God in silence is profoundly difficult, and often we want God to join in the frenzy of the noise of the world around us. The prophet Elijah, waiting for God to speak and reveal himself, found that God was neither in the noise of a great wind, nor in the shuddering sound of an earthquake, nor in the crackling of a consuming fire. But God's presence and voice was in a sound of sheer silence. It was only when Elijah heard the sound of sheer silence that then he heard God speak. An anagram of silent is listen. Silence improves our capacity to listen, but it is a habit that needs to be cultivated. Perhaps it's like the rest in a piece of music. The rest can build anticipation and expectation for what will come next. It will catch our breath, it's arresting, and it prepares us for the music that is to come. The revelation to John records that there was silence in heaven for about, it says, half an hour. And that then is followed by songs of loud praise and exaltation. Silence is not just of value because it waits to be broken. But in the life of prayer, silence is both a foil to fulsome praise and also a deep listening to God. Perhaps as we shout and sing aloud to God, we need to become more deeply aware of our need for silence. Zechariah will speak again. His silence is an enforced pause, an Advent silence. I just wonder, perhaps in that mute pause, Zechariah went back to his prayers, pondered God's eloquent silence, perhaps using the words of the Psalms, "On you alone my soul in silence waits," or "Be still and know that I am God." I'm pretty certain that that mute pause for Zechariah was one of the most fruitful times of his life, for only then was he ready to speak and to praise God's holy name. So, keeping some moments of silence, let us pray. Lord, in the noise of greed, abuse, and war, may we hear your still voice speaking over the clamour of our anxieties and fears. Breathe your peace, your stillness, and your silence into our lives, that our tongues may sing your praise. We make our prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Hymn 490.